And recording, and blad ow, this is Christian.
I'm recording on OBS, blad ow. Emilio, I just peaked the way I think my gain is too high.
Live from a second laptop, it's me.
Yeah, and?
Laz.
And?
And?
Say it.
And what?
Bledow.
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 Oh, yeah.
Good.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Bledow with Chico, Laz, and the Butt.
Oh, Chico.
What was the last one?
The Butt.
The Butt?
The Butt. The Butt. Thanks for tuning in, caller. What song would you like to hear this morning?
Oh, God. Oh. All right, who's going to do the intro for
I
today?
Just did it.
Yeah,
oh, no, that was it.
That was the intro, for sure.
that was the one. Perfect. Okay. What do you guys... Who wants to... Who's going? Who's doing the thing?
Who's doing the thing? I could do the thing.
Do the thing. Laz goes first.
Okay. The big thing that's
what's on your mind?
What's on my mind was the same thing as last time that was on my mind, but now from the other direction.
Huh?
The
a spin on a throwback?
Amazing. The trip,
I mean, long-time listeners will recall.
Yep. The trip to St. Martin.
Oh, yeah.
Which I just got back from a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
We were gone for a week with the whole family, and it was good. We all survived. And I think, okay, so before I left, I had this thought, and I think, have you guys ever had, like, issues flying? I think you have, right, Christian? I think you've told me a terrible story of being in the air and hating
it. Oh, yes, yes, and I'm happy to recount that if that would be valuable, but yeah, not a fan, or have not historically been a fan, but I have habituated to it, I'll say.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll just, you know, we haven't taken a lot of, like, huge family flights, especially, like, over the Atlantic Ocean and to another country, and so... I just had this thought, you know, it's like the kind of thought that you sometimes have where it's like, okay, if something happened, something terrible, like obviously that would be, you know, horrible and awful, but then there'd be like the second phase of horrible and awful of like, I don't have any sort of like will or anything like that, right? I don't have any of my passwords given to somebody. I don't have any of my, like, it would just be like this sort of second rolling tragedy of like, well, what happens to the house? What happens to all the like little things that I, you know, just things that are like important that the family and friends would know nothing about, right? So I was thinking about this before the trip and I was just like, okay, like this is not going to happen. I'm fine. We're all going to be fine. But just that thought of like the what happens, you know, just in the worst case scenario. So I had this thought and I kept meaning to do something like, okay, I should like at least like tell somebody what should happen in that case, right? So I was thinking that and then I did nothing about it. And then
I mean, we're right here, Laz. We are right here.
Oh, not you guys. Never. No. No, so on the flight, I was like, you know, we're up in the air. I connect to the Wi-Fi, and I was like, okay, now is, I guess, the last chance to do this if I'm going to do it. So I chose
timing.
Yeah, I thought of emailed a friend, a mutual friend. You guys know the person. And just kind of like said, like, basically, like, if something were to happen to me, like, you know, here's what I would hope, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Like, this, just to be clear, nothing's going, like, nothing's wrong. We're not in any, like, danger. We're not, like, doing this or something, you know, just like, because it must be a weird email to get, right?
Yeah.
And, like, kind of heavy and all this kind of stuff.
Also, but, if I were you, Send that to two people just in case. Yeah. Just in case.
Yeah. So I send it off, and then, you know, we're getting close to St. Martin, and there's a lot of fog, and, like, we're up way above the fog, but we can look out and see, and it's like, oh, okay, it's pretty, like, cloudy down there. But we start going down, and they're like, captain's like, good news, we're coming in early, we're going to be about 15 minutes early for our, you know, scheduled arrival and stuff like that. And so we're getting very close, we go down all the way in the fog, and we're about 3 minutes from landing, and all of a sudden we just hear like, and the plane just starts accelerating as fast as it possibly can go. And we're still in the fog. We still got nothing. Like we're looking out the window and, like, you know, we're not really reacting because we don't want the kids to react, but it's like, mm-hmm. the plane just, like, starts accelerating and then turning, like, banking wildly to the side. And so we're like, okay, yeah, I guess something else is happening. And then, like, and then so we can feel ourselves, like, go back up again. And this, you know, the captain at this point has just said, like, oh, okay, and then the captain comes on, he's like, I'm sure you guys noticed, you know, we decided there's, like, a little too low visibility. So we're going to circle for, he said, like, we're going to circle for a little while. And then I was thinking, like, oh yeah, we'll probably, like, do a couple circles. And then he was like, you know, if we can't land in the next few hours, we're going to fly to San Juan and we're going to try to land there. So we're just like, okay. And he's like, and so we were just like, okay, like, and then he said, like, yeah, we've got lots of fuel. So, you know, we're not too worried about it. We're talking to the towers in New York to see when this system is going to move through. And so, you know, I'm like, okay, whatever. We're just going to circle here. So it had already been, like, you know, a 4 hour flight from New York or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then we circled for another 2 hours just going, you know, like, God. And you know, they have the map now on JetBlue. So you can see, like, the path you've taken. And we just kept going around in we had this one, like, it was like a, almost like a rectangle, you know, there's like a long kind of like straight and then turn and then straight and then turn. And so we just kept doing it and, you know, sort of no idea what was going on. They didn't really talk anymore about it on the thing. And so anyway,
finally, I was going to say, I'm not going to repeat myself.
Yeah. And we'd started, it was like, you know, 5 PM or 4:30 or something when we were first going to land. And then so now it was like 6:30 or something and it was completely dark. And so anyway, finally we land, goes down, everything is fine, but we land and it's like a torrential downpour. And they said it had actually been way worse before we were there at the airport. You know, it's the airport was, like, destroyed in a hurricane a couple years ago in Hurricane Irma. So the arrivals area has never really been repaired. So it's just kind of, you're just out in the open. It's not like you land and then you go down the tarmac and you just walk across through the airport. And so it was like pouring rain and we get there and everything is like, all the lights are off and all the, like, stuff is closed. And I guess they had, so we heard from, you know, Grace's dad who picked us up, like, they had never seen something like this happen. Was like, he'd been talking to the staff. They'd never seen something like this happen. He said it was the worst rain he'd ever been in his life.
Oh, you know,
he's like, he's like in his 70s. So he was just kind of like there waiting and they had shut down the whole, like, we were the last plane already at like 4:30 or whatever. Like, this was the last arrival for the day. So they had shut down the airport almost completely. He said, like, they closed the doors. He was just waiting outside. And so the only thing that was open was customs, so they could let people in. But anyway, we landed fine, but it was just this kind of, like, I was like, you know, when, like, I'm not a superstitious person, but when you do something that's kind of out of the ordinary, like, you know, email somebody and tell them, like, if something horrible happens, then do this. And then, like, you just, like, come across, you're like, I don't know, like, I'm not a superstitious person, but is this some sort of, like, sign or something? Like, did I have some premonition? Like, what's going on here? So that's my story of the beginning of the St. Martin trip, anyway.
Holy crap.
Jeez.
Well.
Yeah, I had a couple of sort of unpleasant experiences flying early on into my experience of flying, and it definitely, you know, like I get these little just like hints of how I used to feel about flying every now and then when I'm flying again. But I don't know, and I'm not superstitious either, but do you guys have ritualistic behavior in which you engage while flying?
No.
Because I do.
Not at the slightest.
Nothing. Not. I'll tell you mine. You neither, Laz?
No, I don't think so. I think the most ritualistic thing is just sort of very intentional ignoring of what might be going on.
Okay. Well, the thing that I do is, and it's like it is not intentional at this point. It's just a thing that happens now when I'm in the air. And I imagine it's especially, you know, if there's any sort of turbulence at all, I imagine the plane sort of, radiating light basically. And I might even close my eyes and visualize this. And do I believe that I'm keeping the plane afloat with my intention? So I do that. And then unfortunately, a very creepy song comes to mind. And it's not like... It's only because the song is called White Light. I believe that's the title of the song by Gorillaz. You guys remember Gorillaz?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And do you remember that song?
No.
It goes, White Light, do-do-do-do-do-do, White Light, do-do-do-do, echo, echo, echo. It's like super creepy. And it's just the one that comes to mind because I'm imagining white light and there's the song. And that is what happens to me when I am in the sky and there's even a little bit of turbulence. Or when we're lifting off or landing.
Wow. Yeah. Is this something that you came to intentionally?
When I was a kid, or when I was not... I didn't first fly a plane until I was maybe like 14. So still a kid. But when I was a kid, my dad told me that he would imagine the plane covered, you know, in bright white light. And, and, you know, when he was nervous about it or whatever. And so it no longer has intention. It's just... associated with the experience of flight for me.
Yeah. And you must fly a lot, right, Emilio? Is that true?
Oh,
And you must too, Chris. Like, you guys both must fly kind of a lot.
Yeah, I fly several times a year at this point, which is not a lot, but it's a lot for me. Every time I get off a plane, I'm like, oh, this is the last time I have to fly. For as long as I possibly can. Yeah. I don't know about you, Emilio.
So I don't fly as much anymore as I used to. I tend to only travel back to the East Coast once a year and maybe take one other trip flying. But I don't know if you guys know, but my wife is a pilot.
Right.
That's what I was thinking.
Pilot license for a small plane. So I've been in the air with her several times, although I don't really enjoy going up with her because I don't like flying with her, but it's a very small plane and it's really uncomfortable.
You're a very big person.
Yeah. Yes. And actually this is becoming a trend for me. So we talked a little bit last time about how, you know, I got to travel a lot when I was younger. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never felt nervous on planes. It's been very normal for me. And we used to travel probably 2-3 times a year on a plane ever since I was, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old. Mm. Bragging totally. And but I have become less and less comfortable with flying over the last few years. And it's like, it's just because it's so uncomfortable to sit in a plane for a long period of time. And as I've gotten older and I've got back pain and like whatever, like the seats just are brutal for me. And I find myself just dreading the experience every time. And it's nothing to do with sort of turbulence or anything like that. It's just, I sitting in this tiny can. And I also am developing like sort of more claustrophobia as I get older.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. It's something that happened to my mom actually when she was like in her 40s or 50s. And I'm finding the same thing happening to me, that I really get uncomfortable in tight spaces. I've had a couple of, like, little panic attacks at times, like in a tent once camping or like in the back of a car. And so that's where my head is going these days. When I'm in a plane, I'm like, oh God, I have to be in this tight confined space where I can barely move my legs for 5 hours, 7 hours, whatever the flight is. Right. And so I just don't really enjoy flying these days at all. But I've started like ponying up the money to buy bigger seats, which it sucks, but it's like it's worth it at this point.
Is that like doing like business class or
no? Just the like more room, which is just like they charge you $50.
The JetBlue, even more space.
Yeah,
usually,
They used to just let me sit in the exit row for free if no one was there, but now they want to get money for those seats, which are crappy seats.
They are crappy seats. Yeah. Oh, boo.
Yeah. But I was lucky as a kid to travel a lot and like never really have a fear of flying. I think just because it was felt like such a normal thing to do. And so that maybe that's why I don't really have any sort of rituals or anything like that either. It's like going to the, you know, taking the bus or whatever.
Yeah.
That's wild though, Laz, that happened. It reminds me of this I don't know if are we allowed to talk about like comics like Louis C.K. who have been canceled.
Yeah, I think so. Just only disparagingly.
Well, this idiot.
I'm remembering the bit that you're about to go into.
Yeah, do you know the bit, Christian?
I think so.
Is that he has a bit about
discomfort in flying?
The bit is that he. How does it go? Like, I mean, I don't want to try to recreate it, but the short version is that the pilot comes on the intercom, they take off without enough fuel or something, and they take off into a storm, and then they're circling the airport in New York. They're circling like JFK, and the air traffic controllers are telling them that they can't land, and eventually the pilot is just like, "We're out of fuel, we need to land," and so it goes right, and you know, obviously he survives, but. I'll send you guys the bit. It's much funnier than I'm recounting it.
I was thinking of a different airplane bit from Louis C.K., but it's, I don't know, recounting comedy is basically...
I know, it's really not.
But anyway, also, that what a jerk.
Yeah, right, what a piece of crap, yeah.
Yeah, what a crappy person.
Well, Laz, when you said, I have no will, I thought, like, you meant, like, no will to live or something.
Oh, no, Laz!
Terrible. Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? Intervention. You
know, I just figured whatever happens, happens. And... I could care
leave
less either way, honestly.
Life behind.
Yeah. Well, that was before I got a chance to live the island life. You know, it's just now that I've been there and kind of hung out and just sort of... The kind of thing you people from the continent wouldn't really understand.
Oh, Jesus.
So when are you moving the family?
You know, we'll see what happens. But no, it was a good trip though. It was really nice.
I mean, I'd like to have a conversation about wills. I don't know, like, because I think that this is something certainly that comes up for me. Emilio, do you have a will?
No, I... Gladys made a will a few years ago, and I was supposed to do it as well. And in the interim, I wrote on a post-it note that all my things should go to Gladys. Post-it noted it to her will.
Nice. See, but
so official.
What happens in terrible plane accident where everyone goes down?
Right, right.
That's well, the then, part yeah. that yeah. Because I figure by you know just by default, everything's going to go to the right place if it's just me. You know.
Yeah.
So that's why I haven't really thought that much about a will. I do have a life insurance policy that I specifically purchased myself. But that's sort of for the same purpose. You know, it's like, that's pretty clear what's going to happen to that money.
Yeah.
In that case. But yeah, I don't have a will of any kind besides, you know, besides that, the life insurance, like, which you have to fill out certain things. It's basically makes it feel like a will.
Yeah. What's the term for that? The people who receive your stuff,
Beneficiaries.
Yeah. Beneficiaries. Yeah.
Do you have one?
No, but you know, so I have a relatively comprehensive sort of thing around beneficiaries because the Army wants you to be very sort of on top of that. And so there is this like portal where you fill out all sorts of things around pay and life insurance and other types of stuff. But you know, they also really want you to have a will in the Army. Probably all military branches. And so actually, because you have at least a slightly increased chance of dying compared to a lot of other people, whether it's like if you're flying somewhere for a training or for, you know, a deployment or a mobilization or something like that, or if the training itself has a degree of danger, like when I got aeromedical psychology training, you know, they put us up in helicopters and fly us around, and people sometimes crash those things. It is pretty cool.
That's not badass, but...
Well, I mean, it's a badass way to go, maybe?
we have to have that conversation next, I suppose.
Yeah, right? And, you know, like for mine, like they did all sorts of fun things, like put us in a chamber where they can simulate what is it when they take away the oxygen, hypoxia.
This is like if you're up high or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like they can simulate altitude. So they can simulate both pressure and oxygen levels. But you know, you do these sort of minorly dangerous things that could go wrong just in a training like that. Not to mention that, you know, we have to handle firearms and shoot rifles and stuff like that from time to time. But so they really want you to have a will. And actually, like, you know, in the military, you have JAG, which is the military law, right? Military lawyers and whatnot. And that's Judge Advocate General is what that stands for. And those are lawyers who work for the military. And in fact, they offer free services for the creation of a will. And so I reached out to them. I was like, I'd like to do this. And they're like, fill out this form. And I'm like, because the form is like, I don't know this stuff, or yes, I do have those things, but where do I even find the information on that? And it's like a whole thing. So I haven't done it yet, but I actually would really like to do it. Like, I have my dad, he's 73, and I don't think really has a will either. And it's like, God, you know, you just have to, I mean, he has nothing basically, so it's fine, but like, you know, I just kind of feel like you have to be thoughtful about that. And you really, I've worked with enough therapy patients to know that when somebody doesn't put a will together and then they die, it really screws with all of their loved ones. I mean, it puts them in a really bad position, especially if they have things. So it's pretty bad.
No, I think that's what it is I see. I mean, I've seen it happen just in people, family members, and like people that I know. I don't know if I have like anybody who had a real will, except maybe like my grandmother. But some of the negative outcomes of that, and it's always just like it always hits people at the worst possible time, and like they have to deal with stuff just like that paperwork. Where like that's annoying for you to do, but like imagine if someone else had to do that. Well, grieve, like, it's just like, yeah, like I think it's a good case for a will, and I don't know, I still haven't done one, but I do, like, I feel very like adamant that I would never want to like leave people trying to figure out this stuff at the like a really awful time in general. So
yeah, not to mention if you have family members who like don't get along and then they're fighting over shit, and it's like, oh, god
damn. Or just like aren't good at that type of thing, you know? Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, that's a big enough block, like some paperwork, like, oh, you have to bring this to the city hall or something. Like, for some people, it's just like, that's not going to happen. And I don't know. You have to fill out something.
Laz, one of the things that you sort of mentioned when you brought this up was like people not knowing your passwords. And I've heard that is actually maybe the biggest hurdle now in modern times with, like, you know, when someone passes, that if you don't have access to their accounts, everything's behind these passwords, then there's just no getting to it.
Yeah.
It's like really hard to get, and then talk about doing a bunch of paperwork. Like, you know, you'd have to do an incredible amount of stuff to like get a bank to release anything, or like, you know, even if it's just like a Gmail account that you want to look at, right?
Yeah, and like information. And people just won't do it. And like, I've seen that happen before. I know someone who just didn't do it. Like, they could have, you know, there was like bank accounts or something like that, and it was just like, it was too much. They just didn't do it. And I think so I did actually do a printout a couple of years ago when Grace and I went to Barcelona. I wrote up a long sheet of paper with passwords and websites and like all the bank accounts, or like, you know, life insurance. Like, I did a one sheet with everything, everything I could think of, at least just for the digital world. But, you know, that obviously is still not everything, because there's more stuff with passwords and all that stuff. And I think about it with my work sometimes, because every single like real long-term client I have that is like, they talk about, you know, the people who are sort of the core clients, I'm the only person they work with really. And every single one of them at some point has been like, oh, you know, the metaphorical bus, like what happens if you get hit by the bus? It's like, it's like they're all thinking about my death in some way, because like, they would be so fucked. Like, so it's like,
oh man. Yeah. Well, you know, I use a password manager, and I have the password to that. Tiffany has the password to that, but I should probably give like my sister the password to that, because she's the secondary beneficiary on like everything of mine. And so I have to figure that out.
I've started using now, inspired by you, Christian, I've started using Google's password manager.
Great.
For everything. And
great.
But no one has access to that account, so I need to make sure that Gladys has that.
I would like
to actually just quickly issue a challenge to all three of us to start drafting a will before our next recording.
Oh boy! Okay, let me put a calendar item on my calendar so that I can make sure to remember to do that.
My understanding is that it can be complicated, but there's also an easy version that you can at least have as a backup, right? But while you're working on the complicated version. So that you have something down that at least says, right, you know, some beneficiaries, some information about your whatever, and at least you have that, you know, I don't know if it's a one pager or what, but like, then you can have something as a placeholder while you do all the more complicated shit.
That's great. I think like part of it's got to be some, like the first thing is like research, because I would assume you need something like with a notary or something.
I think that's if you want things really sort of above board, but I think, at least from what Gladys told me, I think that you can, as long as you've prepared something and signed it, right? Like, that's why I did the post-it note. It wasn't just like a joke. It was that if there's something with your name and a signature on it, even if it's just a scrap of paper, that counts for something.
Okay.
I mean, I think... But yeah, you get it notarized. Like,
but yes, right.
If you and want you to... guys should get yours notarized, Emilio.
Right. Just and in case I that wonder. I mean, I imagine she may have taken
that
the right
post-it.
Steps.
Get that post-it notarized.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna definitely. I am gonna take myself up on this challenge
I just don't want to hire I'm scared of hiring a lawyer to do anything, because it's like things are just extremely expensive.
God, surely you must know a lawyer in Massachusetts.
Well, I mean, I have a lawyer that I
but I mean, like a friend
paid many
lawyer.
Times.
Like
lawyer. I don't really have anybody who's actually a lawyer.
Oh, that's a good. I have a topic, not for today, but sort of around. Okay, anyway, that reminds me of something.
Well.
TBA. Okay, so I accept your challenge, Emilio.
Yeah.
I'm going to accept your challenge at the degree of doing research first.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do have my little one pager, but I might try to like expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, I at least want to have my one pager, but not my post-it note.
Yeah, that's wise. And I like in particular, like, okay, so with my password manager, making sure I've got that password to my sister, and also because it requires like the other level of thing, like what's your, you know, like it's like a code or whatever, like if you don't have access to the, you know, what do you call it, authenticator app.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You can instead use this code. Like, I have to make sure to give that to her, basically.
Should we just all tell each other our passwords right now so we all have them?
Yeah,
it's great. That's the move, I think.
First.
Cool. All right, good. All right, I like this. Anything else on that topic?
Yeah. I'm good.
All right, I'll go next because I went last time, I guess. So I think let Emilio go last. I have a few topics that I wrote down, and which one is moving me the most right now? I would like your perspectives, and this is a parenting related topic. I would like your perspectives, and before we start recording, you talked about this a bit, Emilio, on parent friends.
Ah.
So developing friendships or not with parents sort of in whatever parenting circles you exist. So whether it's school or whether there's some other, you know, for the both of you who are highly religious, church.
Yep.
For Emilio, the Elks Lodge, I know is a big one. And for you, Laz, that'd be the Masons.
Yeah.
Free Masons.
You can do the moose sound if you want.
No, that's secret. You really shouldn't, though.
No.
Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, this is widely broadcast, so.
Sharing passwords is one thing.
Yeah. So I'm curious you guys thought, and here's what sort of come to me. Now you guys know I've got a 14 and a half month old, and so I'm far from, you know, significant exposure to other parents. Although there is a group of parents or mothers with whom my wife hangs out, because. You know, that's like just this really great sort of support network for the things that I think are unique to being a new mother. And so they're all around, they all have kids around the same age. And so they have like, oh, what do they call it? They call it the Mom Guild, I want to say. They have the cute name for it. And then there's like Dad Club or something like that. And it's all the husbands or partners. And I've gone to one of those hangs with the dads and I'm like, you know, this is just not for me.
Yeah.
And I have had these thoughts around the parenting group, I guess, that I think I might most resonate. And that is the sort of future group of parents with whom we'll be interacting around school stuff. And we're wanting to put my daughter in an international school so that she can become bilingual, you know, easily. And, you know, my hope is that the other parents who bring their kids there will be on some spectrum of like-minded. You know, maybe not perfectly like-minded, but like, you know, these are people who intentionally want to pursue this sort of education for their children. And so I'm like, okay, I'm looking forward to when my daughter is old enough and we can spend time with these parents. However, I was just at the public library which in my town is a really amazing place. It's a new library that, opened within the past like 3 years, I want to say, 3 to 4 years. And it's really special. Really great library, and they have all sorts of kids stuff there, and I brought Ramona there recently, and there are other parents and other kids there, and there's a sort of group of parents who I happen to overhear their conversations, and they happen to go to this school that I want to have my daughter go to. And so I'm hearing them talk about the school, and I'm just hearing them talk in general about things. And immediate first impression, just they suck. Just, you know, like they were, they like, so this is a Spanish immersion school, and they're talking about sort of learning Spanish, and I'm hearing them say very stupid things about, oh God, people's skin tone and the sort of relationship of that to speaking Spanish, and saying some things that to me seem very obvious around sort of like different experiences with speaking Spanish. I don't even remember what it was, but it was like sort of mildly offensive at least. And also these were the parents who were like really uptight about what their kids were doing, which that doesn't super surprise me because it is a private school crew, but they were uptight about what their kids were doing and running around the library. And I was just like, oh, is this like not going to be the group of people who I connect with when I start growing this parent group of friends, presumably? So I know that's a long sort of walk to get to my topic, but I'm just sort of curious, kind of like where you guys are at with this, and like what kind of parent friends do you have, if any, and what have been like your hits and what have been your misses around this? I'd love to hear it.
I think Emilio, you should talk first because you just had a birthday party, right? With a whole bunch of adults, friends.
None of them are parents, but one.
None of them are parents, but one. Okay. So
But
how the hell did that happen?
You did mention the one, earlier, but
I
okay,
have so much to say about this.
Oh my God. Yes. Oh, I'm so excited. And you have the oldest child
I
of the
have the
three of
oldest
us,
child.
so you have the most experience.
Okay,
I
wait.
also
Just,
go ahead, Les.
yeah, go
No,
ahead.
I just want to say, like, this is like the part where it's like, who's going to hear this? But
Yeah, I
anyway,
mean,
I don't know.
I
I think we
think,
should just assume nobody, right? Or else it's going to be
right.
boring.
Right.
yeah, I mean, I think, like, if you have a concern, temper what you're saying, mask it in some way.
Right. Yeah. I won't say any names
Yeah,
necessarily.
exactly. Sorry, Bob.
Yeah, but you're a dick, so
Yeah, Bob, you suck.
Your kid's fine, but I can't hang out with you.
Your kid's a wiener.
Oh man.
Anyway, all right. Yeah, go, Emilio.
God, this is so, and also, so I think my experience has been, I've been very conscious of this because we moved to San Diego from Boston when my son was 2. And so that was the time when, like, if I was in Boston, I would be hanging out with my friend group, who some of them have kids. I would have sort of been still in my community, in my circle. But moving here, I didn't know anybody. And so the first, like, couple years that we were here, and I guess maybe not even the couple years, but like at least the first year, I was very actively looking for parent group. And I
Yeah,
was
right on.
on Meetup or whatever was around at the time.
Right.
I went to, like, there was a one group that was like the San Diego nerd parents. And so I met up with them a couple times, and we went to the zoo and we went to some museum, and they were just they were sweet people, but
Nerds.
not
They were
they were not my vibe. And I
nerds.
am a proud nerd, but these folks were
There's
too
nerds and
proud.
then there's nerds.
That's my, yeah, I think, and I think if you know nerds, you probably know what I'm talking about.
Great. I
We
mean,
know
Laz is
nerds.
here. It's really cruel that you're saying it right in front of him, but jeez.
But I never clicked with the nerd parents. I also tried to join the library parents group, in our at our like local library, which was as I found out, the library moms group and dad Emilio, who, you know, I was not working. I was the primary caregiver, right? I was the stay-at-home dad. I was not welcome in the library moms group.
Like explicitly? Like somebody said something to you?
No, but it was a click, right?
Okay.
And I think that is actually maybe a broader topic about these parent groups that I've found.
Yeah.
So I sort of missed on all these first attempts, and then I kind of was like, well, I'm not going to try so hard. And plus, you know, my son was going to be starting school soon. He was in daycare at that point. We, you know, once I stopped being a stay-at-home dad as much, we put him into daycare, and we met parents through that were very nice, and we clicked with some of them. Some of them are our neighbors now, and we hang with them still. So that's been good. I would say, like, overall, the parents that I've connected with the best are, it's happened very organically, and it's never sort of because we are at the school, because we are in this group, because we have this interest. It's just people who I like.
Just happen to click with.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to meet a lot of parents.
Yeah. Wait, say again?
I was just saying, you meet a lot of parents, like, just in the day-to-day. You go to parties, you go to, like, events, like, so, right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought about this a lot when my son first started, like, in his elementary school, because I was like, okay, this is, like, he's going to be here for 6 years. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to be seeing these parents a lot. I want him to see his friends more. We're just setting up play dates. And, man, I tried. I was, you know, really trying to be social and I wanted to make friends and trying to connect with his friends' parents. And it was so often a miss. Mm-hmm. Just so often. And even, like, you know, and I think I have more tolerance for this than you probably do, Christian.
Oh, 1,000%, I'm certain. I'm certain of that.
So I, you know, I even though there were...
I hated these people and I didn't even interact
with
them.
You didn't even talk to them.
you flat out refused to talk to them.
Exactly. They asked me who I was and I walked away.
Oh, and is that your daughter? Shut up and get away from me. Yeah, so I made a lot of efforts. It never worked out, and like little by little I was just like, okay, I'm just gonna, well, what I had to try to reconcile was, if my son is really close to some kid at school and I can't stand their parents, like, they might not get to be friends. Like, If I need to be able to interact with these people regularly, if our kids are going to be close, and I remember talking to some other parents about this at some point. I don't remember who it was. Maybe you, Laz, even at some point, but
very likely. Yeah.
But yeah, I just finally said that's okay, right? Like, they can see each other at school, and if they want to have a play date, maybe we can do it once in a while. But we're not going to be besties. But so then I have met lots of parents since then that I've clicked with, and, you know, it's not a huge circle, but for example, last night, this is just a parent whose kid went to summer camp with my son. And like, we don't hang out that often, but he's like a really great dude. And I was glad to invite, I was more wanting to invite his son to hang out with my son. But I was like happy that he could be there, and he's like a really good hang. But he was the only other parent that was there. I did invite one other parent, but they couldn't make it. So, but that maybe that tells you kind of how this has worked for me.
Hmm. Yeah.
What about you, Laz?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel kind of the same, Emilio, where I just, like, I feel like I have so many thoughts on this because it's been, you know, we also moved to a new place where we didn't know anybody. When, you know, it was probably 8 years ago or something like that, 8 or 9 years ago, when the kids were about two. And it was, you know, we've tried a bunch, and I it's kind of the way I've always felt about it. It's like, whether you're friends with someone, there's something kind of like random and chance and just luck about it. But I think you, like, increase your chances if you have, like, a similar kind of, like, I don't know, like, there's got to be some cultural thing or some vibe thing, like, who knows what it is. But, like, I think it's just there's been a few parents. Basically, like every now and then I come up, we go to some kids thing and I come across a parent that I just like have a blast talking to. And that's awesome. And then, you know, luck, if we get lucky, then maybe the kids will be friends. And, you know, it's like, who knows if the kids are going to get along. There's a couple parents that we've, like a couple people we've known where like the kids, we sort of tried to make it work. And for a little while, like we had like a little friend group and we liked the parents and the kids played together. And then like the kids never actually seemed that interested after a while. Like they kind of like their friends kind of like moved along. And then we kind of, you know, it was just kind of a natural thing where it was like, we just didn't see the other parents as much because the kids weren't friends anymore. And so we're still friendly with everybody. But I don't know. It's, I have had like a very, I've kind of pushed a lot more than most parents I know. Most parents I know sort of already have these kind of, I don't know if I'd say cliques, but like, you know, it's like the town I live in is a small town. A lot of people have been here and they know everybody. And there's just like a certain vibe that like the PTA vibe that I'm just not part of in any way. And I can like, I'm friendly with a lot of, you know, a lot of different parents and stuff like that. And I've done some stuff in the community. I've like done like assistant coaching and stuff like that now. And like, they sort of know, people know my kids more than, you know, like they're, the kids are sort of like a little bit, well, people will know them sometimes, but I don't know. It's like, it's very hard to find people you like really kind of just like click with and have an easy time. And I would not say that I have found many people like that. And I do think, you know, it's not, I do think it's less likely in like where I am than if I was say, you know, where I grew up or something along those lines. I just think there's a, first of all, there's more people. So you'd come across more people in general, but also just the vibe is just a little bit different. There's a lot of kind of like, you know, the guys might get together and like do like a barbecue without the wives or I don't know. There's just like this, there's like these different crews, like, oh, we're going like off-roading or something like that, or not off-roading, but on the ATVs or something like that. And like, you know, I'm sure like I would have fun with stuff like that, but it's just like not my world at all. So it's like, it's not something that's, I just like slide into and like, yeah, now I'm comfortable. Like, I don't know. I was at this dinner thing and like people were passing around this like phone with some meme on it. All these like guys at the thing. And I was just like, I do not want to see what the fuck that is. Like, I know if I see that, I'm going to be so pissed. And
you're
just don't
hate all these people.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to dislike all the people here. So I'm just not going to see that because as soon as I do, I'm going to be so mad. So.
Oh no. Oh man.
Yeah.
So I don't know. No, I didn't, but I sort of know what it was, but like, all right,
I know something that you would hate.
Oh yeah. No, it was something. Okay. It's just, you know, it was just, and not that that stuff happens all the time. We've had, there's some super nice people, especially some of the, what I've noticed actually is that the kids that our kids are friends with, often I get along with the parents a lot better than like a random parent from like some of the, like, okay. There is like some, there's some correlation there with like the kids that I think are cool and that the kid that my kids get along with and the parents that we come across that are like super chill and cool and stuff like that. So yeah, I don't know. It's true. A little bit mixed, but yeah.
I think in a way, Christian, it for me has mirrored like choosing friends as an adult, right? Mm. It's a thing that like you don't get to do as a kid. You don't get to really choose your friends. You're just who they are. You know,
right. I mean, that's how we ended up with this crew.
Yeah,
this crew.
Well,
of
wait, no, sort of though, right? Because you like even if you're in the same class or something, like, you know, there's like 30 kids or something like that.
It's true.
And there's
some
you gravitate towards certain people, especially over time.
I was just disparaging us. That's all.
I think your point lies, but I think like you have more agency as you know, plus 30-year-old to be picky with your friends. And also if you've moved to a new place, especially, and you have friends from your previous place, like when I moved here to San Diego, I was like, I don't need to make new friends. I'll make a couple and that'll be good. And, you know, see where I land. But it was, yeah. And I think that, yeah, it's sort of been like that same thing with friend parents in that, you know, most of them I am not going to be friends with. And I'm picky. I'm more picky about it now than I ever was before.
I mean, I'm really curious. Oh, go ahead, Les.
Oh, no, I think that's true of every other people, too, is what I find. Like, I'm like, it's not an insult if they don't really want to be my friend. It's like, it feels like everybody is kind of like maxed out. They're like, all right, I cannot add another friend to my life, like, or another thing. Like, that's, and I've kind of felt like that, too, where it's like, well, I have like my, you know, friends from other places and I want to stay in touch with them. And like, so I get the feeling sometimes that it's like, even if they're super nice and they would normally be friends, they're like, I can't add another thing to my like list of things to do. Like, you know, do some hangout with some random person I just met. Yep. It's like, it's just off the menu.
I'm struggling with that with a friend here, actually, a new friend who I'm like, oh, we really clicked. And damn it, when are we going to, where does this fit in? Because I do not have time for a friend that's not part of my other friend groups, right? You need to be in the other groups doing the things that I'm already doing.
Yeah.
One of the things I'm curious about, Amelia, because you mentioned this earlier, which is like, if you're not, or if you can't stand, let's say, the parent or parents of one of your son's friends.
Yeah.
Like, that means that your son is just not going to be best friends with this other kid. Is that, am I understanding that right?
Pretty much. I think there's been a few times like that. And I think that there's a couple sides to that, right? One is, like, I want to be able to interact with the parents and just, like, be social with them if I'm going to be around them a bunch. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, like, if I don't get a good feeling from somebody, then there's a good chance that, like, I don't really trust their kid around my kid. And we've had a couple times, and I won't say this too loud, but like, yeah, there have been some friends that have turned out to not be the best kids, and I didn't get along with the parents, and I was like, yeah, I'm cutting this off because this is not, good in any way.
How did you do that? How did you cut that off? Was it like Rohan's like, hey, can I go to this? Oh, sorry, your son's like, hey, can I go to this person's place? And you're just like, that's not going to work out. Or are you like, well, actually, let me explain to you. So no, it's more like that's not going to work out, and you just leave it at that.
Yeah. I think getting too in the weeds. And this is more when he was younger, but it didn't seem like it would have been appropriate to kind of get into the social dynamics and all this. I mean, there was one kid that we talked about who was kind of a bully, and they were friends. And it got to the point where the kid like was even bullying Rohan, or bullying my son, in front of me. And when that happened, I just told his mom, hey, we're not doing this anymore.
Oh, and so you spoke to that kid's parent.
Yeah, I said, look, this is what he did, and that's not acceptable, and we're not going to be hanging out with you guys now. And that was the end of it.
Wow. Okay. So that's how to do it.
Yeah. And that was a case where I was getting kind of bad vibes, the whole time. And it was a weird, they were weird. And,
yeah.
But luckily that hasn't had to happen too much. Usually you just kind of drift away from the other parents.
I worry about that sort of thing. I've had this sort of conversation with my wife, and I will need to work to be more tolerant. But, like, I suspect that there will be situations where I'm not liking how a parent talks to their kid, or not liking how a parent talks to my kid, or whatever, and, like, just sort of feeling like I just don't want that at all, and having to really sort of, fortunately, have a partner who helps me check myself on those sorts of things, but also just kind of like, I feel certain it will happen. So I guess the main thing, knowing myself, like, and just sort of like, well, I think there are going to be a lot of people who I don't want having any kind of influence over my child. So I don't know. It's weird. I don't want to characterize myself as being too extreme. I feel like I'm a little better around these sorts of things now, but nonetheless, I know it's going to happen.
Well, like, did you have friends when you were growing up that, like, you absolutely now would have been like, oh, I wouldn't have wanted to let my kid hang out with that person? I mean, you must have, right? Had some, like, maybe not until you were older. I don't know.
Well, no, for me, well, interesting. Yeah, I mean, so, you know, growing up, like, where I grew up in the projects, it was this sort of, like, there are these shared kind of areas or shared apartments that you guys both visited my place in the Bricks, right?
Yep.
And so did you, Laz? Maybe you didn't.
I don't think so, actually. No, maybe not. Doesn't ring okay. during a bell.
But like, there's like a courtyard that is surrounded by a bunch of apartment buildings, and like that's that unit, and so that's where all the kids who are in those apartments all hang out. And like, there is this one in particular, brother and sister, who were clearly from parents who were awful and, you know, abusive and all these sorts of things. And those kids were like bad kids and bad to be around. This was when I was like maybe 6 and 7, maybe up to 8 or something like that. I mean, we just hung out with those kids until they moved away, because like, that was like how it worked. It was like, those are the neighborhood kids and those are the ones who you're around, and like, that's kind of it. There's another kid who was sort of on the fence as far as like, is this a good kid or a bad kid? He did end up going to prison, so did one of the other kids. Sort of like, you know, I guess I did have those folks in my life who I would not want my children hanging out with, that's for sure. Yeah
but not so much like your close friends. It was a little more like tangential, for like people just kind of in the area.
Well, no, I mean, they were, I mean, it's like, it's the kids in that area, they all hang out together, that's it.
Yeah, okay.
So like, so yeah, like, yeah, it's like, if you're outside, then all the other kids will see you're outside because they can just look out their window, and then they come outside. And it's like, that's it. Those are the kids that you spend time with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm.
So maybe I wonder if our parents ever broke off any, like, I'm trying to remember if there was like, oh man, there was this kid I used to hang out with all that loved it so much, and then suddenly we stopped hanging out, and and was it because my mom didn't like their dad or something? Like, I'm trying to think if there's any examples of that. Nothing's really coming to mind.
I know that Richard had basically zero input into.
Yeah, I think me too. Like, my parents, like, they just weren't, you know, they weren't tracking that.
Yeah, like, maybe my dad was definitely an observer. But not like, yeah, there wasn't any like interfere. I think he did have opinions, obviously, I think, on different friends, especially like, you know, getting older and stuff like that.
Right.
Like, I was not all, you know, I had some issues at different times and stuff like that. And I think it's, as a parent, you probably see like issues coming up with your kid, and it's pretty easy to look at the friends and be like, that's their influence. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it probably was, you know, mm-hmm. But I don't think it's necessarily always a bad thing, even if it was, you know, I think like eventually you're going to push boundaries and mm-hmm. your friends are going to be part of that for sure.
Totally.
But that's all like older stuff. When it's younger, I think parents do have a lot more control over that, and probably should, like, mm-hmm. you know, and can sort of help keep things, I don't know, and make sure their kids' friends are sane at least, and the parents aren't too out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I worry about like, so there was one kid that my son, you know, got along with pretty well. And after spending a few times at their house hanging out with the mom and the stepdad, it seemed like the stepdad was like an abusive alcoholic.
Oh.
And it was, and I was like, well, I'm not sure how much, like, I don't know these people that well. I'm not sure how involved I can get here, but I don't think I want my kid going over there anymore. And we just kind of cut that one off too. And the sad thing was that the mom would like just text us all the time, like, hey, let's get the kids together. And we'd be like, oh, I can't make it this time. Or like,
oh, that sucks.
Yeah. And then she did end up leaving the guy.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and it seems like she's doing much better now, but we don't really stay in contact. But
Yeah,
yeah.
that's tough. That's you gotta like, I don't know. It's like you gotta think of the, do have to think of the kids first. It's just it's like sad if you see that, you know, you have nothing can't control it.
Yeah.
It's interesting, you know. I think like, I mean, I even this conversation like demonstrates to me that like we are significantly more intentional in our decisions around parenting, especially around sort of social stuff in parenting, than my parents ever were. Like, just not, I mean, it's just like we would, you know, and this is a generational thing, right? But like, you know, in my neighborhood, we would just leave and go hang out with the kids who were around, and then we'd be back in a couple hours or so, and like that was it. You know, it's like, who are we hanging out with? What are we doing? I don't know. The only time I got in trouble was because this one time we were hanging out with kids, we like spray painted something on a wall, and that's the only time that I recall really some sort of like my dad coming and having to like talk to me about something that I was doing with the friends that I had. Or the other kids, I'll say.
I think my parents, especially my mom, were pretty involved and
Yeah, your mom would be an exception,
yeah, wanting
I
to
think, for
know who
that
my friends
era.
were. They were the ones coordinating my schedule, meeting friends or whatever. Like, I remember my dad even being like, these, you know, at times like these friends are not good because not because like they were bad people, but because he felt like they were taking advantage of me or whatever. This was maybe, you know, in high school or whatever. But there were certain people who, and maybe you guys can guess who, like,
Laz.
yeah, like that. It's like that guy
Jeez.
Laz who gives you a ride to soccer every week and totally taking
Oh,
advantage of you.
man.
But yeah, so I think they were pretty, at least when I was younger, pretty like active, and I pushed back on that a lot. I was like, I want to hang out with these people, right? Like these are my friends. And,
These are my friends.
yeah,
You
used to
that's you,
talk like
Emilio.
that.
That's
Shut up!
you.
Your
When you're
voice changed when you were 19.
Yes, exactly. Oh,
No,
man.
I don't know how
No, I
much
think
more.
like,
Oh, go ahead, Les.
oh yeah, sorry, what were you saying?
No, you go.
I was just gonna say, I the most interesting thing I have to say on this, I feel like I can't say because it's like involves people that are in my daily life who, if potentially this was ever like put out there, would
Yeah.
probably come across it eventually. And that's just
Oh,
how I feel.
man.
It's like, yeah. So
That's too bad.
I don't know. I was
We'll
just
have to
gonna
dish
add.
offline.
Oh yeah. Well, after we stop recording, hop no hot mic.
Just record it and copy it out and cut it out later anyway.
Cut it.
But what were you saying, Emilio?
I don't know if we want to spend too much more time on this stuff, but I also wanted to talk about like language school parents a little bit.
Oh, I'd love to hear that. Tell me more, please.
We visit, so we have a there's a language academy close to us, and we visited it for elementary school. We visited a ton of schools to see, because we didn't know the school system here when we moved here, so we were like, okay, what's up? We want to see everything. So we visit this once. It's really highly regarded, and man, I wonder, I imagine if anyone ever heard this, they would know exactly what school I'm talking about, because I think there's probably one of them. But like, we didn't get a good feeling from it. It seemed like it was very like traditional in its curriculum, and very like, I don't know, sort of kind of catering to a certain type of student and a certain type of parent. And so we never ended up applying there, but I could totally see the things that you're alluding to, Christian, about those types of parents. Is and because this school was so, you know, desirable, it was like a, I don't know what the process, a big lottery or whatever to get in, and it was very competitive, and people really took it seriously, and like getting in was like getting into Harvard or something. And I think that mentality, that approach leads to like certain parents and people having like certain attitudes that are not healthy for kids. And I'm guessing that's like a bit of what you tasted at the library.
I think you're right, and I think it's like I have to remember that There are some people who are just going to put their kids there because they think it's the place that will give them an advantage. And it doesn't matter any of the other sort of values of the school or sort of what it means to have a kid who's bilingual or anything like that. Like, they're just like, oh, this is the place that, you know, we go to make it so that this person will grow up and then go be wealthy or something.
Yep.
And it's like, ugh.
The first college kind of like trial. It's just like starting on the right path to going to the, that whole path thing. Yeah. I've been extremely resistant.
Which is something I think about, but yeah. I mean, I do think about those things, but I don't like, what I want is something that's enriching regardless, you know, of kind of what the outcome is. I just want like a varied experience. And that's not everybody's motivation.
Man, I am struggling with this right now. I wasn't planning to talk about this. And maybe I won't talk about it too much, but our son,
boy,
yeah, that's crazy though.
That sucks. That sucks.
That's got to be one of the worst feelings in the world. Is like knowing that like you're, or even like seeing or hearing about. Like we've had some incidents with my daughter too that were.
So this is what I have to look forward to.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Cool.
It's just, you know, I mean, I don't know if you guys know the comic Tom Segura, he's not for everyone, I think. He has a bit. Where one of the lines is like, yeah, some people just suck. And like, I do try to keep that perspective sometimes that like, there's just crappy people out there.
Yeah. No, it's true.
But I feel like, yeah, it's sort of, this feels like at more of an institutional level than a personal level. That something should have been done, you know.
But seriously. Right. Well, we should probably wrap up this topic. Yeah, sorry, right. I have more things that I actually want to dig into around this that you guys brought up as we were going and all that. But you know, we can.
Yeah, Mila, you haven't had a chance to do the main thing.
Yeah, exactly. So it's your turn.
I mean, that sort of ended up being a lot about me.
I don't think so. No, that's it.
Well, okay. I wanted to
hog in the spotlight.
I wanted to do a little game. Of sorts. Not exactly a game, but. I had so many thoughts before we got together, so many ideas. Maybe we can make it into a game. We can roll some dice or something for it.
You promised us a game.
Yes.
So I wrote down all these topics. So there are now on my little list, there are 9 or 10, 12 things that I thought of. Some of them are silly and small. Some of them are big, you know, hairy topics.
Okay.
And so my thought was, I wanted to share this list with you guys, and then rather than me picking a topic, we could sort of see, okay, which of these sounds interesting to us to discuss. It feels a little more organic that way, and also maybe it is relevant to the conversation that we've already had versus just going in a completely different direction.
Okay.
Or maybe not.
Whatever you like, Amelia.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. So you're going to go to our group chat.
Okay.
There, I mean, it's in the document that's already shared with you, the critical space theory, in the files section, you know?
Yep. Got it.
So I just wrote
topics. Emilio topics. Okay.
Oh boy.
Oh God. Yeah. Let's save the HX pod one. Cause I have a topic that overlaps with that.
Okay.
That I didn't go into today, but I let's save on that one.
Yep.
On Laz's
podcast. How do I get to this thing? Never mind.
So
I found
if you go to the chat.
Okay. I think I found it.
Yeah.
Critical space. Yeah. Okay.
Little files.
Okay. I got it.
Huh. Okay. Let's see here. I guess I'm not going to say any of the other ones out loud until I have one that I want to talk about, because it feels like that might be ruining a surprise in the future or something.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. We could always come back to these. Although I will say number two is very relevant to what we've been talking about in a certain way.
Interesting. Okay. Number four is ridiculous. I guess we should say that's.
Bernie and Obama have the same voice.
That's yeah, right. Exactly. I'm like, what?
No, okay, okay, let me show you.
Maybe. No. Okay.
All right. I don't think I could be sold on that one.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I can.
Let me
either.
Be clear. I want you to know.
That's Bernie.
1% of this voice is actually Barack Obama. See, when you take out the New York accent, it becomes Barack.
My name is Barack. And I think that this is a poor comparison.
I would also like to be clear that this is Bernie Sanders.
God. All right, let's stop. No more.
That was really just a lead-in for me to do the Bernie accent.
That's great. All right, mission accomplished.
Yep, I did it.
Okay, I like number 5, Chino Pants and Finding Your Grown-Up Fit. I have a lot of thoughts about, you know, if you mean grown-up fit and maybe sort of more broadly grown-up look.
Yes.
I have a lot of thoughts about that. Yeah. So that one appeals to me. Laz, how about you?
Yeah, I just, today, when I was putting my jeans on, they had a small rip and I put my toe through it. And now, I only have really 2 pairs of pants and I just shredded one of them.
Yeah.
So
yep.
I think discussing chino pants because I'm going to need a pair of pants real soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you needed a pair of pants yesterday.
Yeah. The ones I have on are comically oversized. So anyway, chino pants.
I think we've got the topic, Emilio.
Well, okay. I as a 41, 42-year-old adult male, just discovered chino pants. And I know I must be extremely late to that party, but
maybe you could describe what chino pants are.
I haven't discovered them yet, so.
Yeah, so they're just a pants that are sort of in between a jean and a khaki, I would say. It's like a lighter material, thinner material, and the cut is, it's sort of loose, but not like baggy like jeans. And it's sort of not formal like the way khakis look or dress pants. So I guess like, I don't know if you can imagine like, I don't know, like a mechanic or like someone in the trades industry who doesn't wear jeans.
Are they like Carhartts?
Does the word dungarees?
They're not like Carhartts. Yeah.
Carhartts.
Why don't we just look? Let me just show you.
I'm looking at pictures of them, and I've always felt negatively about chinos. I'll have to say.
Okay, so you know what they are.
Yeah, but I think like I've only envisioned a certain cut of chinos, which has evolved over time since I last had a thought about chinos. And I'm looking at these chinos, a lot of the chinos I'm seeing, and I'm like, oh, okay, they come in multiple cuts, and some of these cuts would probably be great.
Yeah, it does seem like they're pretty versatile. And I hate wearing jeans. And generally, because I'm in San Diego, I wear shorts all the time. Cargo shorts, the best shorts.
Oh, jeez. Oh, we're starting from square one, are we? Okay,
but
got it.
This is also like, right? this is part of my like evolution into a grown-up is like... Mm. I'm starting to find like, oh, there's a look for me that I've never sort of explored before, which is like a little bit more dressed up, but not formal. And I just like, for some reason, like I tried a pair of chinos like a week or two ago and I was like, oh shit, this is the like piece that I've been missing for like to kind of create this new look of myself. Which is like looking like a grown up, or what I think of as a grown up. My look is like shorts and a hoodie, or like jeans and a hoodie, and so like it's never changed. It's been the same since high school. I still have hoodies from high school, and even like you know all the jobs I've had since then, I've always had this like awkward, you know, whether it was wearing like khakis and a button up or. You know, suit pants or jeans, depending on the formality of the job. I just never felt comfortable. I never felt like I'd look good. I always felt like I was wearing like the wrong clothes.
Yeah.
And so these chinos have been amazing. They're like, I can wear them to work. They can look formal. I can wear them with like a sweater or a hoodie, and that's fine. I wore them last night to my birthday party because I'm going out, and they are very comfortable and like jeans.
And everyone was like, Emilio, nice pants.
Yeah, and they're like, you look good, man. Damn.
All right. Let me
get that number.
Let me touch the fabric on your pants.
But yeah, I think like that's just became a thing that I'm now all of a sudden interested in, which is like, how do I want to present myself as an adult visually?
Yeah. I would say,
I think about this a lot. You go first, Les.
Yeah, no, I've also been thinking about it, and I think I may have even mentioned this to you guys before, but I'm realizing that the jeans that I generally wear are always are restrictive in my movement. And I think, Christian, you've always had a pretty good, like, in general, the clothes you get, because you like sit in funny positions and are generally stretchy. So
yes,
like what I'm realizing is like between like my general, like not really intentionally, I have ended up, I'm stiff in the hips and stuff. And I had knee pain, and they said, you know, I went to physical therapy, and they said, yeah, it's all in your hips. Like, your hips are weak. And part of it is because I wear these kind of restrictive jeans. And I didn't really realize that, but if I try to like lift my leg high, it just blocks it a little bit. Like, it just, there's a resistance to it. And so I, just for the last like 6 months, I've been trying to figure out, okay, like I actually have changed the in general, I wore a lot more shorts over the summer, and I've just have been wearing stuff that I can move around in better, because I didn't realize that what I'm actually doing by restricting the motion is like making those muscles weaker. And so my hips and all the area like around there. And also, like, I haven't worn shoes that I had to tie in probably 15 years. Like, I just step into my shoes. Yeah. Like,
like, you wear like loafers, or
I just, whatever shoe I get, the number one is that I don't have to bend down to put them on. So whatever shoe it is, I'll wear any shoe as long as I can put it on without tying it. No Velcro, no tying. I slip my feet into it. And that's true of my boots, any shoes. So I haven't been bending down, and I haven't been stretching my legs. And so
buddy,
I've got like mobility. It's like, I need to like stretch, and I need to like move around and all this kind of stuff. So I think I've been looking at like, there was another brand of jeans that somebody like was talking about that I had it like in my cart for a while, but I can't pull the trigger on buying clothes online, because pants are such like, you can't like wear the wrong size pants. Like, you just, I just would never wear them if they didn't like fit nicely. So like, there's no point in buying it. So I'm very skeptical of buying anything online, and I haven't, you know, been out to actually buy something yet, but I think about it a lot, because I think that it's like a basic mobility thing, actually, at my age and like my lifestyle. Like, I need to have something that is flexible, and I need to like flex in it. I need to like do things like, you know, like I've been walking more and doing kind of more active stuff. But I think that like actually the pants have made it, are going to make a difference in general.
God, that's fascinating. I never thought about sort of like, you know, sort of long-term impairments that could occur based on certain clothing decisions.
Yeah, I mean, just think of like what's it called? What's that show? King of the Hill. Like, this is like,
yes,
like,
yes,
everybody who has those thick jeans.
Yeah,
you can't, they can't bend down. the result of those like thick, stiff jeans is like you lose mobility, and like I think you just like get like a big belly, because you have to like keep it like tight on there. Like,
yeah,
I feel like,
man,
there's some correlation there, and I'm I'm more convinced of it now than ever.
That is fascinating.
That is really interesting.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, man, Laz, I need to introduce you to the front door step stool, I think, because my God, game changer. We have a three-legged stool that, you know, this is a totally my wife's thing, but I need it now. I sit down on this thing every day, and I put on my shoes, and it's
easiest
thing in the world.
Why put on your shoes when you can just step into them? That's what I don't understand.
That's so funny.
Many people are tying their shoes like it's the
1900s. God, This is so funny. So, all right. So here's where I've been going with this sort of thought in recent years, I'll say, is, you know, like, I'm like, my stomach is chubbier. Like, there's just like, I'm just like, I'm still a thin guy, I would say, but like, you know, I'm not as thin as I used to be. And my look, as you guys probably recall, is like a small t-shirt and like pants that fit, you know, relatively tight, but like they're comfortable.
Yeah,
they're usually
flexible,
sort of like,
yeah,
yeah, stretchy kind of, you know, even if they're jeans, they have sort of a stretch to them. And you know, as I've aged and my body has changed, I noticed that, like, in particular, like, the t-shirts don't like look as good on me, and also, like, the pants, like, you know, like, there's it's not an overhang, right, but, like, you know, there's a muffin topping type situation happening.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Okay, great. And I'm sort of like, okay, this look, either I have to wear larger t-shirts, which will be unflattering in other ways for me, or, like, I might just have to develop a more mature look for myself.
Yeah, and like, so this throw on a scarf.
Well, I mean, the main thing that, and this is all, you know, fortunately my wife is somebody who thinks about clothing and fashion and looks and stuff like that, and not in an oppressive way, but just in a sort of, like, you know, she has a cool, unique style, and, like, she has a great lens for this sort of thing.
Definitely.
And so, yeah. And so the first thing that she sort of has helped me toward is the cardigan. The cardigan, really, I tell you though, and they're nice, they're like cool cardigans that are out there, and they can tie sort of, they hide a little bit, you know, that you maybe you want hidden. They give a little bit of breathing room there. And also, like, you know, they can kind of tie a look together. They're sort of an accessory that's functional in that they can keep you warm, but they also look kind of, they can look cool. And so I've enjoyed that. But that just feels kind of like a stepping stone where it's like, I need to actually sort of, like, really be revamping and probably, and it's, like, painful to think about, but probably not wear t-shirts all the time. And so it's like, okay, well, what kind of, like, button shirt style could I do, or like semi buttons, you know, like something like that, or anyway. So I continue to sort of think about this, and I have a fantasy of sort of like just buying a bunch of different shirts and like having and just being able to wear those and not having to wear t-shirts anymore. But it's interesting. I'm thinking about it, and the pants, I feel like I have pants down, it's fine, but it's the upper half of my body that I find myself thinking a lot about.
I've never been able to find t-shirts that fit me well, because I'm pretty tall and I have big shoulders, but you know, I have a little bit of a gut as well, but like a lot of the shirts that fit my shoulders are usually 2XL, but they tend to be really wide at the bottom, like a bell.
Yeah.
And so it just looks shapeless and horrible. And then if I wear a regular XL, it's really snug up top around my chest and shoulders. And maybe it fits my stomach a little better, but it's like, it looks terrible above. And so I've, in the last year, discovered just a particular brand, no name brand of t-shirts. It's not any company or anything. It's just like, it's actually the t-shirts that are usually the stock t-shirts for like certain things. Like if you're getting a logo on a shirt or whatever, this is one of the companies that makes those shirts. Mm-hmm. It just happened that this company's 2X fits me like perfectly. And so I don't know if it's just my body works for this or what, but like I bought 20 of those in different colors.
Good for you. And that's how you do
that's
it.
That's all I wear. And they don't have anything on them. They're pure, like they're just solid colors. It's really boring. They don't have, you know, there's no, you know, I love, Christian, your collection of t-shirts that are fun and interesting and have like art on them and such. And I don't have any of that. But they fit great. and I love them, and I don't wear anything else, and I won't touch another t-shirt, and I tend to wear a t-shirt under a hoodie or a sweater, which is usually what I wear, you know, going out.
See, I've come to find that my work clothes are actually, they're much more interesting these days than what I wear outside of work, where I have like certain like clothing brands, and like I know like this size and this cut of button shirt in this brand fits me the right way, and also this brand offers like cool and interesting patterns that allow me to be sort of more individualistic with like what I'm wearing at work, and then I know that like this brand of pants in this exact size in this exact cut fits me comfortably and like looks good. And so I just do that. And that's really helped with like work. And I feel like I have that covered, but like I wouldn't dress in those clothes outside of work. And so it's like, I have this kind of like this, the casual wear piece that I'm still like navigating or transitioning through, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's man. I mean, you guys, this, this conversation today has been so middle-aged.
So true.
Everything we've talked about.
Parenting and pants.
Yep.
Oh my god. Yeah, that's
Will's
right.
Parenting and pants.
Oh my god.
Just rename the pod. I mean, that's what it is.
Oh man.
Well, we did video games last time, so
I know. Yeah,
maybe that balances a little bit.
Yeah,
unless those are
middle-aged
now
games.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't know anything about the youth.
We don't know what they like.
I do have to say, though, I enjoy the act of lacing up my shoes. And I'll add this. I have this, like, extremely nice pair of, like, shoes slash their leather boots. Basically, they're not, they're just really nice shoes, right? That my mother-in-law gave me. And I looked up, like, how much they're worth. They're, like, several hundred dollars. It's ridiculous. They're handmade, blah, 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 and they're lace shoes. And, like, I wear them only to work, and they are, like, there's just this, again, is sort of ritualistic type thing, where it's like, I lace them up in the morning, and I have a particular way that I lace my shoes, like, I just really enjoy that sort of experience of, like, I'm sitting down, I'm lacing up these, you know, whatever I need to lace up on them, and it's just, like, a nice experience, and I have pride in the shoes and like this sort of thing, and so
that's,
I don't know, I really like it.
But that's not every time, right? That's like you put those shoes on for a certain thing. Like it's like,
well, I wear them more than any other pair of shoes because they're 8 hours a day, you know, 9 hours a day every work day. You know?
Okay, so it is like an everyday thing. Well,
yeah, I mean,
there are things like that I do, but I will say it, tying shoes has never been. It's not one of them.
I can't imagine, Laz. I hate when my shoes are loose on my feet.
Oh, same here.
I hate when my socks start to slip down and I go crazy. I hate when there's like, if there's a pebble in my, and anything like off with my feet and shoes, like I have to address it immediately.
Agreed.
Yeah, but you don't like, so like, I don't like my shoes being loose either. So it's like, the trick is to find the absolute perfect size. And I've returned, because Grace keeps buying me shoes and I'm just like, I'll try to put my foot in and it won't fit right away. I'm like, I'm sorry, we got to take them back.
God.
And it's like, so the trick is to find like just the right size opening. Cause if it's too big, it's going to be loose and you're going to fall off. If it's too small, then you can't get them on. So it's it's a process, and you gotta try on a lot of shoes to get it right.
This is so strange to me that I feel like you're doing a bit, and I don't think you are. But
I'm definitely not doing a bit. Most of my shoe life revolves around. Yeah. So let me see. Yeah. I'll take off my shoe. Let me see what my shoes are right now.
It's just like in the chat earlier today, where it's like essentialist Laz. Laz wants to have like exactly what is needed on a thing, and no more and no less.
Yeah.
They are. Yeah. So I have Skecher. They're even called slip-ins. And they have this edge on one side that just like lets your foot slide in hands free. So these ones were probably, this is the only time I've actually gotten specific shoes that said that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm always on the lookout.
Well, I mean, you should buy that shoe in every color and have them
there
forever.
Yeah.
Well, but that's kind of boring.
You never have to think about it.
Well, but so I do this with any shoe, and what you can do is I tie them once at the perfect distance. So like you can still slip your foot. So like I have work shoes, but I just tie them one time in like a nice double knot and then slip them on from then on.
Man, that's so funny. I mean, this is a, like a conversation now about like what kind of shoe you like. Like this boot that I have, and the brand is Viberg or Viberg. I don't know how it's pronounced, but they're like British or whatever. And like the boot is like heavy. It's like thick leather. This is suede in this case, but it's heavy. And like I just love the feel of them. Like when I've tightly sort of laced them. Up to, you know, because they are a boot, so they go, you know, to just above my ankle is really where they are. And, oh, man, I just really enjoy the feeling of them, like, and the feeling of my feet locked into them, you know?
It's getting kind of sexual here.
Well, you know, I'm feeling kind of sexual describing it, I have to say. I'm glad that I'm conveying this accurately.
Hey, I want the two of you to acknowledge your privilege as normal-sized feet people.
Oh, Emilio, okay? You poor guy.
Because
what size are you again?
I'm a size 15.
And, oh, my God.
And, you know, for most of my life, I have not had the luxury of actually selecting a pair of shoes because I like them.
Yeah.
But instead, going to the shoe store and saying, what do you got in a 15? And taking the two pairs that they offer me. Lately, that problem has gotten a lot better. With the internet and
online stuff,
Zappos and whatever, sponsor our Zappos, they've gotten that problem has been mitigated somewhat, but it's still a limited selection.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I am acknowledging my privilege,
Same here. Pretty much every shoe fits me.
God damn you.
What size shoe are you, Les?
Probably an 11.
Okay, yeah, and I'm a 10, like the average shoe.
Yep.
Yeah, same. I'm like 10 and a half, 11, depending on which brand it is.
When I talk to people in that size, the only issue they ever have is like, well, that shoe sold out in that size because everybody wears that size.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That does happen sometimes. Man, I know people who slip on their shoes when they're not exactly slip-on shoes, and they just, like, ruin them.
Just grind their foot into their heel
into
the back.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, destroy. No way. I want my boot to keep its shape. Oh, man. I love those shoes so much. I really do. They're so great. I also have a pair of, what are they, Blundstone? And that's a shoe that doesn't have laces, and you can't slip it on, you have to kind of pull it on, but oh, so comfortable. Between those, just a happy man.
That's
happy,
awesome.
Happy man. I think we've exhausted this particular topic.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. cool. Hey, do we have any final thoughts?
Man, no, I think, I don't know.
I think I'm good.
I'm very tired all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's good. I think I'm good too. All right, well, it's always a pleasure speaking to you, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Word.
Thanks for tuning into Budow.
Budow!
Budow.
Critical Space Theory.
Budow. A conversation about middle-aged men.
Will's parenting and being too
fat
for your clothes.
And a slowly growing belly. Oh, wait, I have one final thought on that.
Oh,
we took a family picture, and, you know, I'm also getting a little larger around the middle. But we took a family picture at the airport, and I just looked at it. It was like I was like 50 to 60% of our silhouette. Like, it was just like you know, it was a full body picture, so like, you know, like I'm relatively tall compared to, like, you know, Grace and the two kids and stuff, but it was just like I was like, man, I think I'm getting bigger. Like, I was like, I am filling up a lot of this frame right now.
Oh no. I mean, we are middle-aged now. It is happening. And
it's the best.
That means that you're fat, Laz.
I'm getting fat.
That means you.
I'm just getting fat.
You're fat now. Oh, great. All right. Well, hey, have a good day. Great night, everybody.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Good night.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.